Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you through God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself up for us, which is why we give thanks. Thanksgiving is at the heart of the Christian and his practice of good stewardship. It's at the heart of the born again Christian because we are aware of the grace upon grace, the love that has been lavished upon us. And this morning I want to thank our veterans. We want to thank our veterans. We thank all veterans for their service to our country and our families. But this morning, we want to give thanks with Christian soldiers for what God has done for us and the confidence that he gives us in time of war. When I was in Afghanistan, there was a particular psalm that really rang out loud and very striking for me. It was about the second or third week when we were there, and I suppose that the reason it became my rock, if you will, for that year, rock in the sense that I just thought about it a lot, was because I started doing a psalm a day before I left. And so about the 20th day or so, I was on Psalm 35, which is what I want to touch on just for a moment. And the reason this psalm was powerful was because our perimeter at Bagram Air Base, which was like a small city, I mean, there were like 30,000 troops. I mean, they were kind of fools if they thought they could do anything by breaching our perimeter, but they did. And we had just been there a couple of weeks, and so most of us were a little bit nervous. I was, because I wasn't used to all the mortar rounds we were receiving. And though nobody really was terribly hurt, this Psalm 35 says, and you can imagine King David with some oomph. I mean, he's running away from Saul. He knows about being a warrior, a soldier, probably tired. He says, contend, O Lord, with those who contend with me. Fight against those who fight against me. Exclamation mark. Take hold of shield and buckler and rise for my help. Exclamation mark. He's pleading. He's not necessarily telling God what to do, but he's pleading. I'm at war. I need help. Exclamation mark. Then he says, draw this spear and javelin against my pursuers. Exclamation mark. Say to my soul, I am your salvation. Can you imagine a soldier in a foxhole? Bullets are flying. Death is near. They're thinking that same thing. Maybe not those exact words, but what powerful words. Oh God, please say to my soul, because I'm a little filled with unrest. I got these small little things that are right by me. Say to my soul, please say to my soul, I am your salvation. This is why the Christian soldier has every reason to give thanks to God for the peace of God that surpasses all human understanding. We can't even comprehend it because we are more than conquerors. He who freely gave us his own son, how will he not also freely give us all things? We are more than conquerors. Nothing shall separate us. Not the little bullets, not the big bullets, or the mortar rounds, or anything else. Nothing shall separate us from the love of God. Neither life, nor death, nor principality, nothing at all. And so, with Christian veterans, with Christian soldiers, we say, thank you, God, that you are constantly telling our soul through word and sacrament ministry, I am your salvation. Praise God. Now, again, that's at the heart of stewardship. And you know what? I was thinking before somebody had mentioned that they were a visitor, and before we started the service, the thought crossed my mind. You know, we don't do very many stewardship sermons. You know why that is? Because at least I don't do a whole lot, although I really enjoy it, and you're going to hear one this morning a little bit if I stop doing tangents, but we don't do that because the more you hear what God has done for you in Christ, the Holy Spirit works his goodwill and pleasure and moves you to make a commitment. And I encourage you to do that next week. Make a commitment. Sign it. Nobody will look at it. Everyone. You've made a commitment to your spouse. You've pledged an honor to God to honor your mother and father. Well, why not? Our gracious God who has given us all things in Christ. And so I'd like to read to you from 1 Chronicles chapter 29. You might have to pinch yourself a couple of times. Not too hard, but you know, keep yourself awake because it's 19 verses. But it's amazing. I love this. I remember the first time I read it. It was just so incredible. Here's King David, and God has told him, you cannot build the temple. What? Because you're a man of bloodshed and war. Your son, Solomon, will. But King David understood, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. He had received and understood the goodness of God in the coming Christ. All Christians in the Old Testament believed in the Anointed One, in the Messiah who would come and take away sin from the world. It was a promise. It was absolute truth. They believed it. And it was reckoned unto them as faith and declared not guilty. Okay, so from chapter 29, and David the king said to all the assembly, he's got his whole, all the people of Israel here, Solomon my son, whom alone God has chosen, is young and inexperienced, and the work is great. For the palace will not be for men, but for the Lord God. So I have provided for the house of my God, so far as I was able, the gold for the things of gold, the silver for the things of silver, and the bronze for the things of bronze, the iron for the things of iron, and the wood for the things of wood, besides great quantities of onyx and stones for setting, antimony, colored stones, all sorts of precious stones, and marble. Moreover, in addition to all that, I have provided for the holy house. So he's giving on behalf as the king, on behalf of all the people, all that was just stated. But now he says, I have been blessed by God in so many ways that I personally want to take out of my own personal treasure. And so he says, moreover, in addition to all that I have provided for the holy house, I have a treasure of my own of gold and silver. And because of my devotion to the house of my God, I give it to the house of my God. 3,000 talents of gold, of the gold of Ophir, and 7,000 talents of refined silver for overlaying the walls of the house and for the work to be done by craftsmen. Gold for the things of gold and silver for the things of silver. Who then will offer willingly, who then, he's looking at the assembly, will offer willingly, consecrating himself today to the Lord? Then the leaders of the fathers' houses made their free will offerings, as did also the leaders of the tribes, the commanders of thousands and of hundreds, and the officers over the king's work. They gave for the service of the house of God 5,000 talents and 10,000 derricks of gold, 10,000 talents of silver, 18,000 talents of bronze, and 100,000 talents of iron. And whoever had precious stones gave them to the treasury of the house of the Lord in the care of Jehiel the Gershonite. Then the people rejoiced because they had given willingly, for for with their whole heart they had offered freely to the Lord. David the king also rejoiced greatly. Therefore David blessed the Lord in the presence of all the assembly, and David said, "Blessed are you, O Lord, the God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty, for all that is in the heavens and in the earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom of O Lord, and you are exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come from you, and you rule over all. In your hand are power and might, and in your hand it is to make great and to give strength to all. And now we thank you, our God, and praise your glorious name. But who am I? Who am I? And what is my people that we should be able to thus offer willingly? For all things come from you, and of your own we have given you. For we are strangers before you and sojourners, as all our fathers were. Our days on the earth are like a shadow, and there is no abiding. O Lord our God, all this abundance that we have provided for building you a house for your holy name comes from your hand and is all your own. I know, my God, that you test the heart and have pleasure in uprightness. In the uprightness of my heart, I have freely offered all these things, and now I have seen your people who are present here offering freely and joyously to you. O Lord, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, our fathers, keep forever such purposes and thoughts in the hearts of you, of your people, and direct their hearts toward you. Grant to Solomon, my son, a whole heart, that he may keep your commandments, your testimonies, and your statutes, performing all, and that he may build the palace for which I have made provision. Seven times. Seven times God repeats a phrase, a variation of this phrase, offer willingly. Because as Christians, we have been forgiven. Our debt is paid, and the righteousness of Christ is credited to our account. How can we not be thankful for that? She loves much because she's been forgiven much. What a wonder and a joy. No wonder he blessed God in front of the whole congregation. And seven times we read, and these are the seven statements: offer willingly. Secondly, free will offering. Gave willingly. Offered freely. Offer willingly. Freely offered. And offering freely. Now, I have a confession to make. I watched a video on Facebook, and it was funny. I laughed and laughed and laughed. I got to share it with you. It was about a 3 or 4 year old girl, and her mother took a video of her whining. And this is what she said. Mom, I just can't stop thinking about waffles. Oh, Mom, why can't I stop thinking about waffles? Last night, I just could not stop thinking about waffles. And she went on for a couple of minutes. I thought, oh my, that is exactly how we are as sinners. We are whiners. Actions speak louder than words. I remember hearing that from my wife and not really understanding what it meant. It took me a few years. We understand that from John 3:16. God so loved the world that he gave. Love is giving. We often say to everyone around us in roundabout ways, because it's our human nature, oh, I love God, I love God, I love him. But with our actions, we oftentimes say otherwise. Have you ever heard of the 80-20 rule in the church? The 80-20 rule is this, that most normal congregations find that 20% of the members pay for 80% of the bills. That shouldn't be. Have you heard of the 50% rule? Most normal congregations find that 50% of its members give a dollar a week or less. Actions speak louder than words. We find this amazing principle that the Christian is set free and out of a thankful heart, realizing that God has cleared our debt, that all of our sins are forgiven. This is at the heart of the giving of the Jewish people in 1 Chronicles 29 and King David of all people. He said in Psalm 32 and Psalm 51, blessed are those whose sin are forgiven. He understood how blessed he was, and so he is saying, thank you. And we pray for ourselves as well, that God would help us to understand the magnitude of God's love, that we too might, as 1 Corinthians 16 says, set aside a certain amount each week at the beginning of the week on a Sunday morning and give, but not out of compulsion. There are some denominations that do that. Oh, I look in my little black book and you haven't paid your 10%. I know what you make. And after a few weeks, you're out of there. Many, unfortunately, give out of compulsiveness, like they have to. Never do we give because we have to. God loves us just as we are. We give willingly, freely, with a cheerful and joyous spirit. Now, of course, we are all guilty of not doing that, but this is what we strive for. This is what we ask God to help us with, because this is what happens when the Holy Spirit feeds us through word and sacrament ministry. But one more thing, one more principle that we find a couple of principles. One of those principles is first fruit giving. We get a $1,000 check, and we're like that little girl. My wife, when we first got married, she was taught as a farmer's little girl that you tithe, and she, by the grace of God, understood it was not because she had to. I, on the other hand, I didn't like giving to the church. Don't tell anyone. And I was probably like that little girl. Oh, honey, I need a snowmobile so bad. I want some snowmobile socks, you know, with the snowmobiles on it. Oh, honey, do you have to give that 10%? I mean, we don't ever tell anyone they have to give 10% because we're not under the law. And yet it's an amazing guide, certainly something we can do. We encourage folks to give even more because we are freed from the law. The final principle that we read here again is that everything that we have, that $10,000 check or that $1,000 or $2 check, is from God. Every penny we have is given to us. It's God's. And so we give back. We don't give to a budget. If you give to a budget, you're probably not giving properly. We give back from what God has already given to us. And so we take that first fruit giving, the very top of that pile of pennies, and we give whatever percentage And we ask God to help us to give generously, and we give it for the work of Christ. That the work of Christ, the proclamation of the gospel, might be proclaimed both here at Mount Olive as well as around the world. May God help each and every one of us to emulate these free, willing, these giving, cheerful givers in 1 Chronicles 29 as we hear each and every week what God has done for us in Christ. May God bless you with the understanding and the knowledge and the peace that stems from Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep our hearts and minds in Jesus Christ. Amen.